UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Today we have a panel discussion about etiologies, manifestations, and potential therapies for hyperthyroidism. And my guests are Dr. Herbert Chen. He's the chairman in the Department of Surgery and the Surgeon-in-Chief at UAB Medicine. Dr. John Porterfield, he's an associate professor and the director of the General Surgery Residency Program at UAB Medicine. And Dr. Brunessa Lindemann, she's an assistant professor of surgery at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, doctors. Let's start by explaining a little bit about hyperthyroidism and who is at greatest risk. So, Dr. Chen, I'd like to start with you.
Hyperthyroidism is a very common disorder of the thyroid gland, which can strike patients at any age, but we do see the wide spectrum from young children with Graves' disease to older patients with other forms of hyperthyroidism. And the main types of treatment for that include surgery, radioactive iodine, and antithyroid medication.
Dr. Porterfield, how common is hyperthyroidism? Do you see quite a bit of it at UAB?
It's actually quite common, and we see it every week in our clinic. And it is something that is diagnosed at multiple different points of entry into the healthcare system, where it might be an endocrinologist, but it can also be family practitioners and internists. Oftentimes, we will find it from cardiologists who would have detected a patient who might have been having some tachycardia or other overt signs of hyperthyroidism. But in addition to that, we also find it in patients that we call subclinical, where they may not have had any obvious signs of hyperthyroidism, but they've had laboratory tests with a TSH, a thyroid stimulating hormone level, which is suppressed, which would be evidence of their hyperthyroidism. And so we're often asked to step in and evaluate those patients.
That's so interesting. So Dr. Chen, back to you for just a minute, because I'm wondering, when you're looking at the clinical manifestations and function, is this kind of something that happens not by accident, but just you find out about it when maybe you were looking for something else?
Well, hyperthyroidism patients tend to have symptoms that usually lead to the diagnosis. And those symptoms are they can have feel hot all the time. They can be losing weight. They can have tremors. They can have a rapid heartbeat. So really signs that your thyroid gland is overactive. And when patients do present with symptoms like that, usually clinicians think about hyperthyroidism. But as Dr. Porterfield mentioned, there are patients for which they may not have these overt symptoms. And it may be more subtle, like it may be a reason why they have an irregular heartbeat. It may be found on routine labs that you do have hyperthyroidism. And I think in those cases, it's important for doctors then to figure out the cause of it. And the most common cause is an autoimmune disease called Graves' disease. And then basically send them to an expert for evaluation and treatment.
And I would like to add, in addition to that, there's often a confusion in that patients that are hyperthyroid are often very fatigued, and they have this this thought that if they're hyperthyroid, that they should be running around and they should be very busy and very active and more productive and those type of things. But because their body is being pushed in this hyperthyroid state all the time, they're often chronically fatigued and exhausted. I think that it can be a source of confusion for both patients and providers in how they present whenever they don't have the overt signs, like most of them do, like Dr. Chen mentioned.
So what are some of the current issues in medical or surgical management? Assess for us the appropriateness of some treatments that you would use once you detect what's going on, Dr. Lindemann.
Yes, and that's an important facet that we discuss with all of our hyperthyroidism patients. And we have the benefit of being able to treat hyperthyroidism in a variety of ways. And this requires ongoing discussion with patients as to weighing out the risks and benefits of each of the types of therapies along with their preferences. But hyperthyroidism can be treated medically using antithyroid drugs. It can be treated with radioactive iodine therapy. And it can also be treated surgically through a total thyroidectomy. And each of these treatments has different indications as well as risk profiles and rates of success afterward. So we see that, you know, most patients will be initiated on antithyroid medication immediately following diagnosis. But we know that up to 20% of patients have adverse effects on these medications. And so many of them will undergo radioactive iodine therapy in an attempt to have some definitive management. But even up to around 10% of patients may have an ineffective response to radioactive iodine. So surgical therapy is the only therapy for hyperthyroidism that's associated with a 100% success rate.
Dr. Chen, add to that a little bit about some of the management guidelines and what else you might look to work with. And are there some challenges for adherence with the patients?
Well, I think for the therapies that Dr. Lindemann referred to, is most often patients, when the diagnosis is made, are put on antithyroid drugs in order to try to stabilize their disease, to get the hormone production under control, and then sent for one of two definitive therapies, surgery or radioactive iodine. I think in the past, many people have been thinking that radioactive iodine is perhaps an easier therapy or a therapy that is better tolerated. But in our experience, the cure or the success rate of radioactive iodine is much lower. It is associated with the risk of exposure to that radiation. And that surgery in many cases is the preferred treatment for many reasons. But I think that it is challenging to sort of make that, to get providers aware of that point. And quite honestly, not all surgeons are that excited about operating on patients with hyperthyroidism, because those type of operations can be quite challenging. So it's quite important to send the patient to a surgeon, an endocrine surgeon with experience in managing patients with hyperthyroidism.
Dr. Porterfield, as the director of the General Surgery Residency Program, speak to what Dr. Chen was just, you know, saying about experienced surgeons when you're dealing with thyroid surgery.
Right. So there's several different pathways once someone leaves medical school that might lead them to becoming a thyroid surgeon. And as our general surgery residents are trained, you know, here at UAB with, you know, five endocrine surgeons, we're able to expose them to all different aspects of endocrine surgery. We've all trained at various institutions, which bring different practice pearls and different practice experiences. So as our chief residents are finishing, they're extremely well trained from an endocrine surgery standpoint. But we still think that it's important that they pursue a fellowship like Dr. Lindemann and myself and Dr. Chen have done, to be able to get that next level of expertise where you really become very comfortable with the routine procedures, but you also have direct responsibility in the operative care of patients that have more complex disorders, such as reoperative thyroid surgery. And other scenarios where you really need that in-depth fellowship training experience that occurs after a residency, so that when you come out in practice, even your first cases are very safe and you're outside of that learning curve, because we want our patients to be able to know and understand that we're not releasing residents out for them to then start their learning curve. They've actually gone through that during their training process.
And I would like to add to what Dr. Porterfield said, that we know from many studies that have been conducted that in endocrine surgical procedures, including thyroidectomy, that surgeons that perform that procedure as part of their routine practice, what we refer to as high volume surgeons, have better outcomes for the procedure, lower rates of complication, compared to surgeons that do procedures like thyroidectomy only sporadically within their practice. And so I think that's exactly what Dr. Porterfield described. It, you know, brings you the advantage of having an additional training in, specifically in endocrine surgery, to be able to come out as a high volume surgeon.
One of the things that I was thinking that I did not include was that whenever we think about an endocrine surgeon, we're thinking about more than a technician that removes an organ. We're thinking about an expert that understands the preoperative biochemical assessment, evaluation, analysis, conversation with the patient, referring physician, in addition to the technical expert that performs the procedure safely in a high volume setting with low complications. But then thirdly, that they're following up and they're evaluating the cure and the follow-up and the long-term assessment of these patients, so that it's all incorporated in that one endocrine surgeon.
Dr. Chen, looking forward to the next 10 years in the field, give us a little blueprint for future research in hyperthyroidism. And is there something that you're doing at UAB Medicine that you would like other physicians to know about?
Well, a lot of our efforts focused around looking at patients with hyperthyroidism and how to make their treatment better does focus around sort of the operative process, both the preoperative diagnosis and the preoperative management, as well as the post-op management. So some of the things we're looking on, we just recently published a paper in the Annals of Surgery looking at how we do within our health system. And we probably do, there are a lot of times that we could do better at making the diagnosis, because I think a lot of times the abnormal lab values perhaps don't get noticed or don't get worked up. And so that's one of the things we're working on here at UAB, to improve the recognition of the disease by providers. And also we're looking, and we have data showing that really patients who have definitely the severe form, but even the mild forms, do benefit from treatment, and that treatment, and most of the time, is going to be surgery, which is, of course, I'm biased being a surgeon, but I think is the treatment of choice and should be utilized in the majority of patients. So part of our mission with the research is to really show that the outcomes with surgery are far superior to than the other types of treatment available, and to get that broadly disseminated in the community. So I see down the road a lot more research and literature supporting the broad use of surgery, and to have that those operations done by high-volume endocrine surgeons who are the experts in treating this.
And I would like to add that another area of ongoing research that our endocrine surgery group has been involved in is thinking about how to make surgery as tolerable, or how to make surgery as streamlined as possible for patients with hyperthyroidism, and specifically Graves' disease. We also recently published a paper in the American Journal of Surgery talking about our experience with outpatient thyroidectomy in patients that have Graves' disease. These patients at one point in time used to have, you know, at least an overnight or often 2 to 3 day stay in the hospital for monitoring of their surgical sites, as well as management of their electrolyte levels. But the protocols that we have worked hard to develop have been able to minimize the disruption to patients' lives, such that we now feel that, you know, in our experienced hands, can allow many patients to be able to go home the night of surgery, even in the setting of Graves' disease.
And Dr. Lindemann, your wrap-up as an assistant professor of surgery at UAB Medicine and someone who does this all the time, what would you like other physicians to know about some of the complications or adherence about hyperthyroidism?
Yes, thank you. What I would most like for other physicians to know, particularly physicians that you know, work in the primary care groups or endocrinologists that see these patients shortly after diagnosis, is really to echo what Dr. Chin said and to have them consider surgical therapy for a broader group than they would have previously. I think that there is an increasing evidence base in the literature to support that patients with Graves' disease can be offered the chance at cure with thyroidectomy with complication rates that are relatively equivalent to those of all population of patients who are undergoing thyroidectomy. And we certainly would disclose our bias as surgeons, but feel that being able to meet with patients and have a conversation with them and discuss the risks and benefits of surgery compared to other therapies is something that we would always be happy to do.
Dr. Porterfield, last word to you. What would you like other physicians to know about what you're doing there at UAB and what they can expect from your team after referral insofar as communication and your team approach?
Thank you so much. The what I would want the physicians to most know is that if at any point there's a question, for them to be able to call and access us at any time, whether it's through 1-800-UAB-MIST, what we call the MIST line, they can reach myself, Dr. Lindemann, Dr. Chin, or the rest of our team essentially immediately and be able to have these quick conversations. Just today in clinic, I've talked to three physicians from across the state, and we've got patients, none of which are coming to see me, but they're all coming to see my partners because of unique expertises that they have. And so we want to provide exceptional access for these patients coming in so that we can best direct them. And the other thing I would want for the physicians to know and other advanced practice providers to know is that our residents that we're training and our fellows that we're training, they're not practicing on patients. And that, that Dr. Lindemann and Dr. Chin and Dr. Wong and myself, we're all right here with them the entire time so that the residents are getting, they're being taught in a very controlled environment. And Dr. Lindemann didn't mention some of her, even her own research of how we're studying how residents are learning during these thyroidectomies and parathyroidectomies and what their impressions are and what the impressions of surgeons are so that we can continue to even be better surgical educators while at the same time providing advanced thyroid surgical care at the highest level with the lowest possible complication rate so that these patients can go home the same day and they can return to work, many of them within less than a week from a major thyroid operation.
Wow, what a great panel discussion. And thank you, all of you, for being with us today. It's really very fascinating information for other physicians to hear about what you're doing there at UAB. Thank you again for joining us. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.